Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Today is UZAS, originally from the East Falls section of Philadelphia. He attended the University of Notre Dame for a year and then Drexel University, where he graduated with degrees in business management and accounting. He worked as a management auditor for the U.S. Government Accountability Office in Washington, D.C., and then in Philadelphia. Over the years, Paul has had the opportunity to make pilgrimages to many religious sites, including Lourdes, Medjugorje, and the California missions. He retired from his job due to a permanent disability and now spends his life for the Lord volunteering and spreading the good news. He has volunteered at Holy Redeemer Hospital, St. Luke's Parish, St. Joseph's Villa, as well as for the Daughters of St. Paul and the Little Sisters of the Poor. And Paul is a faithful friend of Our House Ministries and helped their chaplain write, publish, and distribute the book, Heaven's Homecoming. He resides at the Little Sisters of the Poor Holy Family Home in Southwest Philadelphia. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and it's so good to be back with you all again. We meet for Christmas, but we hope and pray that you had a blessed season of Christmas, and which still continues. We still have a little bit of time left in the Christmas season, and many blessings to you all during this new year of 2024. Before we jump into having our guest, just a couple things I wanted to mention. Of course, as always, please keep JMJ Catholic Radio in your prayers. And if you're ever able to give them a little financial assistance, that would be wonderful. It's really appreciated. And you can contact JMJ Catholic Radio. Their mailing address is P.O. Box 851, Pittston, Pennsylvania, 18640. Or you could always give them a call if you have any questions for them or make a donation through credit card at 570-287-4670. And just a secondary reminder, this program that we do, In the Father's Hands, is on JMJ Catholic Radio, and it's also a podcast. So if you miss hearing on JMJ, you can always go back and listen to the program on the podcast. Let's go ahead and open up our scriptures to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, where Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater."
Disconnect.
"Able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And I know we read this passage every time. It's really familiar, but I think every time we hear it, it's so reassuring, especially as we launch into this new year, that the Heavenly Father is with us the whole way through. So no matter what lies ahead, to not be afraid, because He's with us and we're in His hands. So today I'm so excited to have a friend on the program. Paul, welcome to In the Father's Hands.
Thank you very much, Mary Kate. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we're so excited to have you on. And I already took my turn with reading a scripture verse, so I'm going to ask you if you would share with our listeners a favorite passage of scripture of yours and why it's so meaningful to you.
Mary Kate, it's from Luke 23:39-43. "Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, 'Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, 'Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom.' He replied to him, 'Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' And it's a favorite scripture passage of mine, because I think that's what we all need to do, and that we do. Constantly ask Jesus for his mercy, and just longing to hear that inner voice, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's a very comforting passage for me as I walk through this journey of life.
And I love that passage. I was so glad that you had sent it to me in advance, because I was like, Luke, I actually haven't had a lot of guests quote Luke, as a matter of fact, and some of my guests even, they'll quote some of the same verses. I've never had anyone pick that verse, and I just loved it so much. So thank you for sharing that with us.
You're quite welcome, Mary Kate.
And, something I like, beside asking that question, something I like to ask my guests, and I'm just going to tell my guests, sometimes I call my guest PJ because I've known him for a long time, and so I'm just so familiar with him. So if I slide into that, you'll know. But I like to ask my guests, PJ, why in their life, if they like look back throughout their life and even at the present time, how have you seen the Heavenly Father holding you in his hands and guiding you? If you would share with us a little bit about that for you.
Well, since my earliest days, at the age of 5, I developed a very rare medical condition called linear scleroderma, and eventually would spread to certain parts of my body, atrophying, and then at the age of 23, I came upon having very many central nervous system issues with my spine. So that's debilitated me to the point that I'm now in a wheelchair, living in the Little Sisters of the Poor healthcare. And I've always, either maybe felt sorry for myself, kept asking myself why me and everything. So I just felt that, reaching out, wanting to hear the Lord, and it only happens when you listen. And that's what I've been able to do throughout my life. At times, just listen and hear God calling me. I don't hear the voices or locutions I think you hear about, many people may have. I hear God speaking to me through a lot of other people, say, "Why don't you consider doing this? Why don't you consider doing that?" And it's like discerning and filtering that all in has been my lifelong journey of how we've gotten to this moment.
I have to say the same for myself. I was just at a Bible study the other day, and we were talking about how, maybe different ones of us have heard God's voice in our life, or how we know he's real and present there. And I guess what you said sort of speaks for me too, maybe not hearing God's voice, clearly, someone speaking to me, but I'm so aware of his presence and the people around me, like the things that they suggest, to me. They'll present an idea, like you just said, but also, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes I'll be kind of like in a grumpy mood or not in a good disposition, and a thought will come to my mind to completely change my attitude, and I knew it didn't come from me, because I was in such a, sour place in my brain. There's no way that thought could have popped out unless it was from God. So I don't know if that happens to you, but I definitely experienced that.
It happens all the time, but it happens more frequently if we listen. And that's a key word in my life. So often I'm filtered in on the next ball game that's going to come on, or to watch or talk about, or the news. And it's like, I guess, Isaiah up on the mountain in Carmel. And he only heard the voice when he listened, and he heard it in a still small voice. So sometimes I have to quiet my mind and spirit to be able to listen. And that even means listening to other people. It's not just quiet still. It means taking out the things out of your life at that time that are kind of meaningless and listening to what's important.
And, the other day somebody had sent me a message on New Year's Day, a quote from St. Faustina, who, of course, is near and dear to my heart and the ministry that my family is involved with my Jesus Mercy Ministries. But, it was Jesus speaking to St. Faustina, and he was saying to her that, my voice is so almost quiet, that a soul has to be so recollected in order to hear it. And that really caught my attention, you know, because I know for myself, even when you're in a religious setting, your mind can get so distracted from actually hearing God's voice, you know. It's everything you're just saying right now about listening. Like, God's voice can be so light and slight and small that, like, if you're disrupted and all over the place in your thinking, you're not going to hear them, you know.
Yeah, I do believe, again, another scriptural passage that, you know, our Lord is a jealous God. And if we're going to be all caught up with the world and the materialism and whatever's taken our mind away from Him, He's going to, you know, sit back until, you know, we're waiting to hear Him. And, you know, it took me a long time in this journey to get to this point where I realize that. Sometimes you just have to shut down everything and open up your heart and soul to the good Lord.
Sure, yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, were you, raised pretty strongly in the faith? Did you sort of have your faith throughout your whole life?
I'm very grateful to God for the gift of my parents and even my extended family. I never knew grandparents. They'd all passed before I was born, but, you know, seven aunts and uncles on my mother and father's side. Seven uncles on my father's side, actually.
Wow.
And seven aunts and uncles on my mother's side. And, I can never recall a moment that I was away from the church as far as mass attendance and trying to, you know, grace before meals. Family rosary was always part of our life. Not to say that it wasn't a struggle, not to say that there wasn't trials where I kind of put God out of the picture, except on Sunday morning, you know. And that was a gradual approach. My father, although a school teacher, going, whenever he could, he got to daily Mass. We were all altar boys and quite often had the 6:30 Mass, and he'd drive us to St. Bridget's Church early in the morning and, you know, attend Mass and head right off to work. And so that was in our lives from day one. We always attended 40 hours and weekend Vespers back in the day on Sunday nights. And it stuck with us, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was something that really interested me that you had told me when I had asked you about information about yourself, about, you know, how you've made pilgrimages to various different places. If you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about how going on pilgrimage to these places has affected and deepened your faith.
Yes, I think it's a reaching out when you go on a pilgrimage, and you're just saying, God, I want you more in my life. And it started off early in my day. I must have been 6-7 years old. I can remember my parents, you know, stuffing us into the station wagon, and we headed out to Quebec, Canada, to the shrine of Saint Anne de Beaupré. And that was the first pilgrimage I said, probably, maybe not the first, because people in Philadelphia would consider it a pilgrimage, but we have a wonderful shrine there in Germantown, the Miraculous Metal Shrine. Mm-hmm. And we'd go there quite often on Monday. But again, the extensive pilgrimage type, I was able to go there as a child. And then later on, during my college years, an older brother took me in semester break over to Rome and to Paris for like 7 days, split between those two cities. But I insisted to my brother, he didn't want to go, but I flew down to Lourdes, not knowing the language or anything.
Wow.
And that was the first of three pilgrimages I would make to Lourdes in my life. And I was able to go to Medjugorje twice. I was able to go to shrines of our Blessed Mother in Belgium at Benoît and Barang. I've been to Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Mexico City.
Wow.
For the 460th anniversary in 1991. I was able to go there with my father, which is a very special time in my life and his also. Trying to think some other places. I've been out to California to the missions founded by Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, the Juniperus, St. Juniperus Serra. In one pilgrimage I wasn't able to make because of during an unhealthy time in my life when I was living in Richmond, Virginia with the Little Sisters of the Poor in October of 2009. St. John Jugan, the foundress of the Little Sisters, was canonized. And I was chosen from the home to go represent the home, and I wasn't able to do so. But I remember getting up at 4:30 in the morning, our time, to be in time with the EWTN coverage of the canonization in Rome. And I sat in my dad's room there. He was also in the home, and we watched that. And to me, that was a pilgrimage, because my body could have been in Richmond, but my heart and soul was in Rome that day with so many pilgrims throughout the world.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I was able to go one special place many people don't have the opportunity or didn't have it, was to the little town of village of Kibeho, which is a small town in the country of Rwanda. And it's a proved apparition of our church that Our Lady of Kibeho there appeared to five young children before all the civil war and genocide that took place there in 1991. So Our Lady had given a message there. I was there and had a young man trying to translate it for me as it was being related. Alphonsine, the visionary, was saying that unless you turn to God and begin to pray, the rivers of Rwanda will be turned into rivers of blood. And that is exactly what happened.
Wow.
Similar to the message of Medjugorje, although not an approved apparition, it's a very special place where many people go and their hearts are changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, referencing back to something you said earlier about, you know, growing up in Philadelphia and making a small pilgrimage to the Miraculous Metal Shrine, I would say, like, boy, we're so blessed in Philadelphia because there's so many shrines down there. You know, we have St. Rita and St. John Neumann, whose feast day is actually today.
Yeah,
and
yes,
and I have memories when I was a little kid of my dad taking me to that shrine, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, you know, because his body's right there in the altar. Yeah. I know part of him is incorrupt, and so, you know, it's kind of beautiful to have that rich experience in Philadelphia of all those shrines, but also in your experience of just traveling all over the world.
Well, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, I've traveled to many, many football games, Super Bowl, World Series, and, yeah, they were very, you know, neat experiences, and I share them. But these pilgrimages, I share with people who are so excited to hear the stories, you know, and the messages that are relayed through. I've met some lifelong friends in these places. You know, you're there for a couple of days or a week. You know, 30 years later, you're still speaking on the phone and sometimes going to the christenings or even now the weddings of some of the people I've met from Massachusetts or California. It's just been wonderful.
Wow. Yeah, wow, that is beautiful. That's something. So I was wondering, we had mentioned, Jerry had mentioned in the intro about how, you know, even after you stopped working, you've never stopped, you know, volunteering and spreading the gospel message. And, you know, I guess I'm just wondering how it is for someone that has had such physical suffering in their life, how have you been able to kind of move past that to give so much attention to other people despite your suffering?
Well, I have to be honest, at the age of late in my 27th year is when I retired on this permanent disability, and I was had to find out what I was going to do, because there's quite a jolt to your system. All your peers are at work, you know, and, you know, it sounds neat, I'm retired, but how do you spend the day? And my parents said, Paul, why don't you do some volunteering? And locally where I lived in Glenside, Pennsylvania, there were some really good spots, Holy Redeemer Hospital, the St. Joseph's Villa, run by the Sisters of St. Joseph in Flowertown. I started off there, and I started doing some prison ministry in New Jersey with a mutual friend, Father Al Hewitt. And I needed someone. I was starting to show videos in the prison in southern part of New Jersey, and I went to the, it was called the St. Paul Bookstore. At that time, it was in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, just to get some videos. I went in there to get three videos, and 33 years later, I'm still a cooperator with the Daughters of St. Paul, even though they're not in Philadelphia anymore. I still do a lot of online things with them, and have even traveled to other cities when I'm able to help with their conferences and exhibits they have at conventions and things of that nature. So, and I, that's how I heard about the Little Sisters of the Poor. They were in need of some help. So I started with a good friend of mine, and we started driving the sisters on their Sunday collections to different parishes.
Okay.
And it led to us driving sisters to as far as New York and whatever, and became very good friends with Father Doug McKay, their chaplain, who then that led it into his ministry of helping not only the elderly here at the homes, but also he stretched out and helps the recovering, the addicted people in the neighborhoods, and wrote a very beautiful book, Heaven's Homecoming, about his life at the Little Sisters, and also wrote a book about the addiction ministry. And again, I was involved helping him do some history and the geographical put together, I should say, for a better term, and publishing and sending them out. So
wow.
Everything leads to another. God doesn't usually keep you in the same place. He keeps you moving where his needs are for his people. And then it brought me to the, after being in Richmond, to be close to my dad. I was living with a brother of mine down there. The sisters saw I was coming every day to Mass and, you know, just visiting other residents. They invited me to come in and live in the independent living section of the facility. And that led to more work, you know, as far as I took and began a ministry of just sitting one-on-one with different residents, which I've done today with two of our residents who are getting ready to pass in that journey to the good Lord. And the Little Sisters have a great ministry, and nobody dies alone. When you get close to that stage, and the nurses get involved in helping them form that decision, but they take a shift usually from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. around the clock, and residents and nursing and nurses and nurses' assistants are there during the day. And that's what I did this morning with two of our residents who are, you know, failing very poorly at this time.
Mm-hmm. What is that experience like, sitting with someone that's getting ready to see God?
You may be sitting with, you think you're sitting with a person that's a friend, and you just want to be there. But when you really look down there and their body's becoming lifeless and their breathing's more shallow, you realize you're sitting there with the good Lord Jesus, who is with all of us in the toughest and hard decisions. And that's why, you know, I picked up my devotion to Divine Mercy in 89, in May of 89 in Medjugorje. But soon after, I met your father in Philadelphia, who was the Divine Mercy advocate of all of Philadelphia and now good part of our country. You know, the work he and yourself and your family has done to spread the devotion. So Faustina quoted in her diary that if we would pray to the chaplain at the bedside of the sick and the dying, you know, tremendous graces would come to them, and also to us for doing that. And
yeah,
we're not gathering there. You know, that's two or more. Jesus is there. You know,
sure,
if we're there with that person. And even if we weren't there, I know that Jesus is with that person that's suffering, because they're the people he loves the most.
Absolutely, for sure. Wow, that's beautiful. And, you know, we're actually, believe it or not, we're almost out of time. But before we go, I just want to ask if you wouldn't mind, just as like a tip, I guess, for some of our listeners, is there any good, like, specific prayers that you like a lot, or spiritual books that you'd really recommend to people that are looking to grow spiritually?
Well, I'm very devoted and I have lived my whole life to the Most Holy Rosary. It's a cherished prayer of so many of our saints, if not all of them. And that, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I just, you know, scripture, of course, the book, if I had to put it in one of my favorite book categories, would have to be the autobiography there of the little flower, St. Therese, titled The Story of a Soul. Sometimes, with me, I had to read it three times before it touched me. And now it's just, it's with me always. The journey that the young woman there in France, passing away at the age 24, 5, 6, I'm not exactly sure, but the considered the greatest saint in modern times. You know, anything written by Fulton J. Sheen, Venerable Fulton Sheen, it is a classic to be read by anybody coming into the increasing their faith life. So I probably could go on for another half an hour someday if you give me that opportunity, but that's just
That just means that we have to have you on again, right?
Yeah, tip of the surface. I mean,
that's right.
We've been blessed by our good God with all these treasures out there.
And I just, before I close off here, I just want to thank you for all the work that you're doing, and for those of us that like maybe or don't have the opportunity to be at the bedside of the dying, thank you for doing that and stepping in and being with those people there and serving all the people in the home around you. You know, thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Father Secondary, I want to thank you and your family.